Again, thank you for coming to the meeting tonight. I'd like to turn to the book that follows, the book in the Bible that Clive has read to us from, the Gospel as John records it, and just a couple of verses in chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're going to read the opening verses and then just a little further down the chapter. So, John chapter 1, and we'll see if we can find it and follow the reading. It's so very important that we do realize that these are the words of God. Very opening part of this gospel, verse 1 of chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now down to verse 10, please. So we're in the same chapter 1, the little numbers, not the big numbers for the chapter, just the little numbers, verse 10. "He," that is the Word, or Jesus Christ, we'll explain that in a moment, "was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power," or the privilege, the right, "to become the sons," or "the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And that's our reading from the Word of God. I want to, if you're at all familiar with a meeting such as this, you would say, well, that's obvious. But if you're not familiar, I want to speak to you about the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I hope, we're very glad to see you here, and we hope that you will come back if the Lord spares us tomorrow night and throughout the week. And what we want to impress on your mind is that we are not preaching a religion as such. Now, many people would say it's religion. What interests me is not so much religion, because that can be good or it can be extremely dangerous. I want to tell you about a savior, not a church. I want to tell you about a man. I want to tell you about salvation, not religion. And I want to emphasize that as well as my brother Clive throughout these nights. It's the Lord Jesus himself that we want to bring to your attention. And so this record of the gospel as John writes it begins in a delightful way. John wants to establish right from the the very beginning of his writing just who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And he says, "In the beginning was the Word." That's just another title for the Lord Jesus. It's an interesting one, because we use words to communicate. Whether we use spoken words, or written words, or signed words, but it's always words to communicate. We cannot communicate in any other way. You say, what about the mute? Well, whether it's by sound or whether it's by sign, it's still words. It's still communicating words and ideas, because without this we can't communicate. God wanted to communicate with mankind, and so he sent his Son, and he calls him in the Bible the Word. We were saying recently in Palmerston North, it's interesting because the Spanish translates it the Verb. Now, a verb is very simply a doing word. And God sent his doing word, Jesus Christ, that living doing word, into the world to to communicate what creation could never communicate. Creation communicates to us. Oh, there's no doubt about that. I cannot understand people that are rational and intelligent in so many things, and then they see the world about them, and they say, but there is no God. And this all came about by chance. Now, it's like me standing out on the street and saying, whether you think this building is nice or whether you think it's very plain and ordinary, but standing on the street and saying to you, this building all came about by chance. One day there was a massive explosion in Myler Street, and out of the ground there was some sort of clay pushed out of the ground, and certain moisture burst up after it, and it just mixed together in a sufficient mixture to make bricks. And somehow or other, sand and from somewhere lime got together with some water, and it made the mortar and the bricks stuck together. And then the sand formed into another formation, and it made glass. And it stuck in the windows, and it was all by accident. You know, if I started to do that on the street, people would look at me and say, this fellow has truly gone off his rocker. He's bonkers. He doesn't speak intelligence. But people say that. Well, God is going to communicate not just his wisdom, and creation needed wisdom. Had God made the earth just a little bit closer to the sun, you and I would have burnt up the very minute that we were born into the world, or we wouldn't have even got born. Had we been a little further away, then we would have all frozen to death. God communicates wisdom. God communicates power in creation. What being could bring a whole, not just the world, but the whole universe into being? And what man, what being could do that? God communicates his wisdom and his power. But I can never, ever fully understand the heart of God without his Son, Jesus Christ. For God is love. And God wanted to communicate his love toward mankind. And so he sent his Son into the world, Jesus Christ. Now this one, the Bible wants to establish here in this gospel very quickly, who is this communicating one? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and that tells me that Jesus Christ is eternal. Doesn't say in the beginning he began. In the beginning he was born. In the beginning he appeared. No, it says, in the beginning he was. I know our minds find that difficult, don't they? How can my mind understand no beginning, because we measure everything by time. Whether we're measuring things by centuries, or whether we're measuring by years, or by months, or by days, we measure everything in time. How can my mind conceive that which has no beginning? But the Word of God says, in the beginning, Jesus Christ was. I'm just taking what that title word means and saying, in the beginning, Jesus Christ was. He was always there. That's his eternality. And that's very important to keep in mind, because Clive has been speaking to us about a man that lived in time. And he lived not only in time, he lived for time. And he committed a dreadful mistake. He only thought in terms of time, and he never thought in terms of eternity. Well, when we come over further in the Word of God, writing to Christians in Thessalonica, excuse me, the Apostle Paul said, I pray God that your whole, and I want to take it from the Spanish if you'll permit me, that your whole being, spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the day of the Lord Jesus. Our whole being is made up of spirit and soul and body. Now, of course, there are many people in Dunedin that believe that. Not everyone, but a lot of people would. But if we were to go down to down the street now and stop people and find those who believe that we do have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body, and say, well, just tell me what are we made up of? Most people would tell you body and soul and spirit. Partly correct, but they got it around the wrong way. And we place a lot of emphasis on the body. And in Luke, Clive has been bringing to us a man, and he thought about his body, and he thought about his welfare, and he thought about his future, and he thought about his retirement, and he thought about his pleasure, but he forgot about beyond time. When the body ceases, the spirit and the soul live on. And the body will be raised again one day. But the spirit and the soul are always conscious. Should you die tonight, the Bible doesn't teach us of soul sleeping. There was a man in the Bible in the same gospel by Luke, and he was a wealthy man as well. Luke seems to have a bit of a habit of taking up wealthy men. Well, he was a doctor, so maybe he was a bit wealthy, I don't know. I don't think he was so terribly wealthy. He dedicated a lot of his time to working with the servants of the Lord. So maybe he wasn't such a wealthy man, but some doctors become reasonably wealthy. Luke seems to just pick up some of these wealthy men. Well, here was the one. He wasn't a doctor, but Luke was. And he tells us about him. And it came to pass that he died just like a beggar that was at his gate. And it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he wasn't unconscious. And his soul and his spirit weren't sleeping. He was conscious of his circumstances. And he was conscious that he wasn't in the presence of God. Not sleeping. His body had been put in the ground, buried. But he was very much conscious of where he was. You and I also have a spirit and a soul. And they will live on forever. They will never cease to exist. And our bodies will be resurrected. And God wants to communicate to us, and he tells us about one who is eternal, who is not limited by time. He's eternal. And then he says that the Word was with God. Jesus Christ was with God. That tells us of his divinity. He was with God. See, no one else can lay claim to that. There are many religious leaders today, and people talk about their leaders, and some tell us that their leaders have gone to heaven. But they can't lay claim to the fact that their leader came down from heaven. The blessed Lord Jesus, of whom we want to speak, he says again and again, I came down from heaven. The Father sent me. See, he was different. And this is what God wants to establish. Not only does it tell us of his divinity, that he was with God, it tells us, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ was God. He is God. That's his deity. He was God, and it says the Word became flesh. And we go over further in the Bible and it says, God was manifested in flesh. He became a man. The eternal, the infinite, came into time and came into this world. Now, I can't explain that to you, but I believe it with all my heart because the Bible teaches it. And we just believe it. Not blind faith. It takes far more faith to understand that this almighty explosion in Mailer Street created this building than it does to believe that someone designed it and someone built it. I don't know it, but I see the building and I know there was a designer, there was a creator, there was a builder. I see the universe, the world about me, and the stars, and the moon, and the sun, and all that there is around me. And I say, there is a God, there is a creator, and a wise one. And the Lord Jesus, it says, he was God. Now why is this important? Some people say, well, that sort of makes the Lord Jesus a long way off. He was God. Well, he became a man, but he was God, so he didn't feel things like we... Oh, yes, he did. He felt things just like we do. In fact, he felt things more. Can I put it this way? You take a boy that's lived his life on the street, and he's earned, he's kept alive by stealing and by fighting. He gets something to eat, and his mates want to take it from him. And he knows if he wants to eat it, well, he's got to fight them off, and he's got to eat it. And he lives a rough life. And he sleeps anywhere where he can just put his head down. You take another boy, and he's only lived in his, with his mother and his father, and he's been the apple of their eye, and he's had every single thing that he ever needed and wanted. He never knew what it is to fight, never knew what it is to be belted around. And the two of them get into a fight. Which one's going to feel it most? The boy from the street gets a few knocks in the head and he's knocked unconscious, but he gets up after and says, well, that's life. But the boy that's never known anything but being looked after, he senses it so terribly because he's never known this sort of thing. The Savior came from heaven. He'd never known what it was, sin. He knew about sin, yes, but he'd never known what it was to sin. He'd been the theme of angelic praises. He was the son of his father's love. And he came down into this world and suddenly he's despised and he's rejected. Oh, I believe that the blessed Savior sensed it and felt it in a way that you and I could never feel. And he did that because he loves me, and he loves you, and he's interested in you, and he wants to save you. What a Savior we have. He was God. Now we read, he was in the world. That's his humanity. He was in the world. He became a man. Oh, that's a blessed truth. Why didn't he just stay God? Well, you see, to take my place, he had to become man. And the Savior was willing not to cease to be God, but he was willing also to become man, a human, in order that he might take mankind's place. He was in the world. And it tells us that the world was made by him. He's the creator, isn't he? The world was made by him. Now we not only see that the world exists, and he was in the world, but the world was made by him. But now it tells me, he came unto his, he was in the world and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That is, the world of humanity didn't recognize him. Or they knew him as Jesus of Nazareth, but they didn't recognize him to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Only just the odd ones. And in John we're going to see some of that. As the Lord reaches out, sometimes to a multitude, to a crowd, and sometimes to individuals. But the Lord Jesus is interested in crowds. But he's also interested in individuals. And he's interested in you. And he's interested in me. He was in the world. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And it said, he came unto his own. He came to his own world. The place that he had made. And his own people, his own things. They received him not. They didn't receive him. Now whether that's just the Jews, or whether it's all the people of the world, but it tells me this. That even the very religious God's earthly people, the Jews, when the Savior came, they did not receive him as the Son of God, as the Christ, as the Messiah, the sent one. They didn't. No. They rejected him. Refused to acknowledge him. In fact, when he said he was the Son of God, they accused him of blasphemy. But now the Bible makes a tremendous statement. He came unto the world that was made by him, and his own people, they didn't receive him. But, as many as received him, as many as received him, to them gave he, Jesus Christ, the privilege, the right, to become the children of God. What is to receive him? Even to them that believe on his name. To receive Jesus Christ is to put your faith, your confidence in him. The name stands for the person. If someone asks you, my name is Len Walker, if you haven't heard it. Someone asks you, do you know Len Walker? Oh, yes. They ask you, do you know the name? But you say, yes, I know, not the name, I know the person that's represented by that name. They knew him as Jesus of Nazareth, but they didn't receive him as God's Son, the Savior of the world. But as many as received him, to them gave he the privilege to be called the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. And I ask a person, I'm not going to ask you to answer me, but I ask a person, are you saved? Are you a Christian? Oh, yes. When did you become a Christian? Oh, I've always been a Christian. Well, this is not what the Bible says. It says here, as many as received him. A gift is not yours until you receive it. If someone offers you a gift, a Christmas gift, Christmas is coming, and someone offers you a Christmas gift, it's not yours until the moment that you receive it. And Jesus Christ is offering salvation. As many as received him, to them gave he the privilege, the power, the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. But they weren't always Christians. They weren't always saved. Why? He said, which were born, not of blood. That tells me, Christianity, salvation doesn't run in a family line. The Jews thought it ran in the Jewish nation, national line. Religion can run in a family, but salvation is individual. It's not a family. You may come from a Christian family. You may know Christians. You may have Christian friends. You may have people that are saved. But that doesn't make you saved. Can I put it this way? If we were to go down to McDonald's, and McDonald's are known for their hamburgers, does that constitute you a hamburger because we go to McDonald's? Of course not. Does it constitute you a Christian? Does it constitute you a child of God? Does it make you a saved one because you go to a church or a gospel hall? Never. Doesn't. Religion can run in the family. But salvation, I had to learn. I had Christian parents. But it didn't make me a Christian. Some people have said to me, it must be lovely having always been a Christian. No sir, no ma'am, I wasn't always a Christian. I had Christian upbringing. But I didn't become a Christian in the true Bible sense. Until I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I received him. I believed in his name. And that very moment, not because I was born into a Christian family, it's not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not any effort that you or I or anyone else can put into it. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It says, nor of the will of man. No matter how much even a Christian father or a Christian mother or a Christian brother or a Christian friend would love to see you saved. It can never make you saved. It's not of the will of man. If I could, I would be saved for every single person, not just here in this building, but right through Dunedin. The Apostle Paul, speaking about his own Jewish countrymen, said he could wish himself even sort of cut off and pushed out of the book of life and losing salvation in a sense if he could only see all his countrymen saved. My dear, that's the will of man, isn't it? But the Apostle Paul always preached that individually, each person must receive Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what God wants to tell you tonight. Not because of family background. Not because of any human effort. Not because of human desires. But as being born of God. Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Do you know your sins forgiven? Are you sure of heaven? Are we absolutely convinced, every one of us, that if we were to die tonight, or if the Lord Jesus would come, would you be saved? Would you go to heaven? Well, you can be, if you're not. And if you're not sure, we'd love to be able to help you more. But we don't want to insist with anyone. It must be the response of each individual heart that God is convincing you by His Holy Spirit that you need salvation. And thank God, God has provided salvation. Not in a church, not in a religion, not in a way of living, but He's provided salvation in the lovely, perfect person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And I would commend Him to you, because there is no one else like Him, the Savior of sinners. And He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Our Father, we give thanks to Thee at the close of this meeting for each person here present, and for the Savior of whom we can remind or tell each individual. Father, with Thy blessing, remember each one. Grant that each might come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. We ask it in His name, giving thanks. Amen. Now, if you could take the